Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok in the studio today, and we're lucky to have him on this Medical Monday, is Dr. Russell Cecil, a board-certified orthopedic surgeon at St. Mary's Healthcare in Amsterdam, New York. He specializes in hand surgery and joint replacement, specifically custom-made knee replacements. Dr. Cecil earned his medical degree and PhD in bone pathology at Cornell University Medical Center. He did his internship and residency at Mass General and was appointed an instructor in orthopedic surgery at Harvard University Medical School. He's the founder of Mohawk Valley Orthopedics in Amsterdam, New York, is a board-certified member of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, and is currently an assistant clinical professor at Albany Medical College. Dr. Cecil, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Alan.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. To be part of today's conversation, everybody, call us at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WMC Vox Pop. That's all well and good. Or you can do what I recommend, which is to email us at voxpop@wamc.org. That's a good way to get your questions in. There are five phones. Four of them are ringing already. Doc, if you don't mind, we'll go right to the phones. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay, great. Let's go to Helen in New Lebanon. Helen in New Lebanon, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Lately, I have had some pain in my neck that radiates to my through my right shoulder and down into my right forearm. I think it became aggravated after a long plane ride, like 8 hours over to Germany, and it was pretty intense for a while. I was just using ibuprofen, and now it's less. I mean, I'm home and it's okay. But when I'm sitting for a while, it really bothers me. I don't know if it's a pinched nerve or what's going on. I do have an appointment to see an orthopedic person, but if there's nothing to do except wait for it to resolve.
You want to know that. Okay, so we're going back to doctor. Doctor.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you do have a pinched nerve in your neck. It's a very common problem. You probably have a little disc or bone spur pinching the nerve in your neck that goes down your arm through your shoulder. And in the overwhelming majority of cases, just given some time, this will resolve spontaneously.
Yeah.
So if you're on the mend and feeling better, you maybe don't even need to see the doctor and just wait it out.
Right, because it doesn't limit my activity. I mean, I can do everything that I've always done. It hurts, you know, more when I'm sitting still than anything else. So I thought it couldn't be that serious if it's not inhibiting my movement, right?
That's right. I think you should count your blessings and maybe bide some time before you go to the doctor.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Helen.
Okay,
bye. That leaves one free phone, believe it or not. And from Helen to Ellen. All right, Ellen and Adams, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Can the doctor tell from an x-ray whether a hip replacement is needed?
Well, it takes two things to need a hip replacement. One thing is to have an arthritic or bad hip that you can see on an x-ray. The other thing is that you have to have an arthritic or bad hip that really bothers you. So if you do have an arthritic or bad hip, you might have to ask yourself. People always ask me, Doc, do I need a hip replacement? And I usually say the same thing, which is, well, Ellen, when you're ready, you'll know. So just because the x-ray looks bad doesn't mean you have to have a new hip. There are many people with terrible-looking x-rays who get along just fine on their bad hip.
Well, I've had a steroid shot, and that seems to be helping, so I guess I'll just wait and see what happens.
I think that's the right decision.
Hey, Ellen, thank you very much.
Thank you for your help.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that leaves two free phones. Unbelievable. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Tom in Rosendale. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. My question is, regenerative medicine is using stem cells that are harvested from the individual, and I guess they're processed and then injected into the joints of osteoarthritis sufferers. And I've heard various things about the results, and I'm wondering if your doctor has any knowledge of that at all, and if you could, elucidate a bit.
Dr. Cecil?
Yeah, this is a very exciting area of research right now, and I think that in maybe 10, 15, 20 years, these artificial joint replacements out of metal and plastic will be history, and people will treat their arthritis with some type of stem cell preparation and get the cartilage to regrow. There's already been done some work, mostly in knees, using cartilage cells that are grown in culture that have been used to get new cartilage to grow. It's of limited application right now, and the use of stem cells at this time is really a research activity, but I do think it's the future.
Okay, because I was considering it, and I didn't know anyone locally that was doing it, but it sounds like it's a little bit too soon to pursue that.
Yes, at this time, it's not mainstream FDA medicine. You might be able to go someplace and be part of a clinical trial or study, but we have no real good knowledge about what type of outcomes you might expect.
Where's the place he might try, down at the NIH or something like that?
I'm not sure about the NIH. I've had a few patients mention this to me. I think if you just Google it, you'll find some people who are looking for participants in clinical trials.
Yeah.
Well, I know they're doing it in Florida now. There are some folks I know down there that have actually had it done and claim that they've gotten tremendous relief from it. And if they could ever use it to actually regrow cartilage, that would be the gold standard, I would think.
You bet. Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Oh, super.
Okay, right, let's go to Judy in New Lebanon. Judy, you're on. Hi, Judy. Oh, Judy's breaking the rules. Let me explain, Doc, what the rule is. The rule is you can't listen over the radio. You have to keep the phone next to your ear because this is a seven-second delay between... Okay, Judy, on your mark, get set, go. Hello, Judy.
Oh, hi. Should I turn my radio off?
Yes, indeed. That's rule number one.
Oh, okay, I will. Okay. Okay. Well, I have a couple of questions. First of all, I clean houses. I'm 61, so... it's going to take a toll on my body, but I was peeling apples way back in September, a ton of apples, and suddenly my left shoulder started hurting me, and it's hurted me all along. So I was just waiting for it to go away. At my doctor's physical appointment, she said, oh, we can give you some physical therapy, and I didn't follow through with that. I wanted to see if it just went away on its own, and now my right shoulder is bothering me, so... I'm wondering, I don't want to just take physical therapy without figuring out what's going on with my joints. That's the first thing. The second thing is I was just listening to, a promotional ad, but sometimes they're pretty good, about a Japanese doctor that named Shimonishi, who discovered black mica, which is a way... It takes out all the heavy metals and impurities and toxins in water. And what this webinar was claiming is that a lot of it was attributing these heavy metals in our water to joint pain. So I have a twofold question, my own shoulders and then that question.
Okay, you've asked, and now we get an answer. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, okay, Judy, I completely agree. I think it's a good idea always to have a diagnosis before you start treating somebody. And you might see an orthopedic surgeon about this. He'd probably get an x-ray and examine you. It turns out that the two most common causes of shoulder pain in people your age are going to be problems with the rotator cuff tendons or arthritis in the shoulder. The rotator cuff tendons are the tendons that connect the muscles on your shoulder blade to your arm bone and help you move your arm around. And this is by far the most common cause of shoulder pain. You can have just tendonitis where the tendons are degenerated or irritated, and that often responds to just a cortisone shot, maybe some therapy.
And
it's possible you might also have a tear in one of the tendons. And once again, that can also respond to a cortisone shot and therapy, but might require surgery to fix it. The other possibility, which is much less likely in somebody your age, is to have arthritis between the ball and the socket joint in the shoulder. Once again, that oftentimes does respond to a cortisone shot or physical therapy, and sometimes might result in a shoulder replacement.
Oh, no, thanks.
Yeah. And as far as the black minerals, I don't really know much about that. I don't know that there's much evidence out there one way or another about that.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
And thank you, Judy. Appreciate your call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. Zach is back, so we're going to take a little break. ¶¶
support comes from St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York, offering minimally invasive spine surgery. Choose stmarys.com. Mount St. Mary College in Newburgh, master's and online RN to BS and nursing degree programs for adult students. Post-master's nurse practitioner certificates in adult and family health, msmc.edu. Nathan Litauer Hospital, Gloversville, New York, now presenting their Renaissance robotic system for minimally invasive spine surgeries with Dr. Ja'an Shen, nlh.org. And Berkshire Bach Ensemble with Kenneth Cooper, performing Haydn, Mozart, Brahms, and the Bach Brothers, Saturday, May 24th at 7:30 p.m. at the Mahawi, berkshirebach.org.
And we are back. We're delighted to have Dr. Russell Cecil with us here. And we'll go to Leslie in Oneonta. Okay, Leslie, your turn.
Thank you. I had a knee replacement about 8 years ago, and I fell in the shower about 10 days ago. And now that knee hurts when I'm walking downstairs and sometimes when I'm getting up from a lower chair. Now, I'm worried that I hurt the replacement situation, and if you think I didn't, are there exercises that I can do that would help that pain?
Well, I would tell you, it's not that likely that you damage the knee replacement. These knee replacements are incredibly tough, and if you take a fall from a height, you might break your leg, but you're not going to break the knee replacement. But it is possible that you might have fractured a bone adjacent to the knee replacement. If you're walking around on it, however, that's not that likely. And I think from what you're describing, there's a good chance that if you wait this out, it'll gradually get better with time. I would suggest maybe riding a stationary bicycle and see if that helps.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Yes, appreciate thank it. You very much.
Okay. That leaves one free phone open, 1-800-348-2551. Yvonne in Pittsfield. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi there. My question is about knee replacement.
Go.
I have a torn meniscus in the back, and I have some arthritic changes in the front. But the biggest problem I have is I just don't have any mobility left. I can only bend my knee about 90 degrees, and I have a lot of trouble if I'm on, like, doing some gardening on the ground and then trying to get back up again. So what realistically is the improvement with a knee replacement? How much range of motion and mobility will I actually get if I have this done?
Okay, and before we even go any further, Yvonne, if you don't mind my tacking one additional question for everybody else on here, could you tell us what a meniscus is?
Your knee is the intersection of your thigh bone and your shin bone, and it's a joint, and like most joints, each bone has cartilage on the end of the bone. The cartilage is that smooth, white, shiny tissue that allows the joint to glide easily. The knee also has a fibrous cushion stuck in between these two bones that helps spread the weight across the joint more evenly and helps the knee function more efficiently. And what very frequently happens when people get arthritis is that the meniscus, particularly in the back part of the meniscus, can rip and shred and tear. And it's really part of the global arthritic process.
Has anybody invented a new meniscus yet?
Yes, there's been work done with artificial menisci and transplantation of cadaver menisci. And I think it's a promising area. I've actually did an artificial meniscus implantation in a cadaver once, but it's not really arrived for common consumption. I don't think it's been all that successful yet.
A lot of people have been trying to do this.
A lot of people have been trying.
Okay,
right.
Now we're going to answer Yvonne's question, which was, Yvonne, once again,
what kind of mobility and range of motion can I expect after a knee replacement? Will it be enough that it's worth doing?
Well, if you take all comers, people who have a knee replacement can move their knee from perfectly straight to about 115 degrees of flexion on average. Of course, that means half the people are worse than that and half probably better. If you look at knee replacements, it's the least successful of all joint replacements. About 15 to 20% of all the people who get a knee replacement in retrospect feel that it wasn't worth it, that they almost wish that they'd never had the operation done. And that's the highest rate of dissatisfaction of any of our joint replacements.
And some of the other joint replacements you do?
Yes.
Are?
hip and shoulder replacements. And nice. My experience is shoulder replacement patients are actually the happiest replacement patients.
Mm-hmm.
They usually leave the hospital the same day of surgery, go home the next day. They don't require a whole lot of physical therapy, and many of them are pretty well recovered even at the end of 2 weeks.
Yvonne, anything else?
Just curious, in regards to that, about how successful it is, how is one then getting up off the ground? Does that become easier regardless when you've had a knee replacement, or can that also be still a problem?
I think for most people, it's probably easier to get up off the ground after a knee replacement. Mm-hmm. Some people never really get their strength back after a knee replacement. It might be harder for them. But I think for most people, it would make it easier.
Okay, Yvonne, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We had one come in at by email, say, from Winnie in Tolan. My 47-year-old son is scheduled for a hip replacement next month. I know there are different materials they can use to replace the ball. Which is best?
Well, this is a big area of controversy. Traditionally, hip replacements have been made with a metal ball going onto a plastic socket, and that has stood the test of time and is a very successful combination. You might have seen those TV ads about law firms representing people who have been damaged by metal and metal hip replacements, and those were popular about 10 years ago. And the reason is because with a metal on plastic articulation, there can be some wear of the plastic, and little bits of plastic can get loose in your joint and cause problems. And the scientists realized that with a metal-on-metal bearing, the volume of wear particles was much less than with a metal-on-plastic bearing. And so they developed these metal-on-metal bearings. What they didn't know is that many people have a very bad reaction to the little tiny metal particles. And some of these people can get what we call pseudotumors, where there's a big lump that grows in your leg. And also, in some people, you can dissolve away part of the bone.
Hence the lawyers. In the middle of the night.
And basically, nobody's using metal on metal anymore. Other possibilities are ceramic on plastic and also ceramic on ceramic. And I think for somebody the age of your son, most surgeons today would probably go with ceramic on plastic, maybe a few ceramic on ceramic.
Okay. Let's go to Bill in Schenectady. Bill in Schenectady, go.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, so far, so good. Don't make me sad.
Okay. Hi, doctor. My question is about knee replacements. My wife has both her knees. The cartilage has deteriorated badly to the point where now she has bone on bone. She's been to several specialists. She's had x-rays taken. The doctors advise her that as long as she can live with what she has, not to go ahead and get a knee replacement. However, if it gets to be too painful, they say, well, that might be the route to go. We recently heard of another process, whereby fluid is injected into that space where the cartilage was. With some friends of ours tell us they've had excellent results with it and have delayed or postponed for a long time the need for a knee replacement. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yes, it sounds like what you're talking about is the injection of hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid is one of the building blocks of cartilage. And the material which is injected into joints feels like motor oil if you rub it between your fingertips. And it's thought to work by lubricating the inside of your joint. It was very popular in veterinary medicine 30, 40 years ago, and became popular in Europe and was approved in the United States, so 15 or 20 years ago. And it was used extensively. Many patients were very pleased with it. But just in the last year and a half, however, there's been some more evidence that indicates maybe this is just really a placebo effect and it is not all that effective. And so the latest clinical practice guidelines from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons do not recommend its use any longer. And it's a consequence of that recommendation and maybe some others. United Healthcare, Blue Shield, and I think Fidelis and probably some more have decided not to pay for it. And I suspect that this is a procedure which over the next few years is going to disappear.
Oh, okay. Well,
Bill in Schenectady, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right. Let's go to Jim in Ballston Lake. Jim, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I called with basically a similar question about 2-3 years ago. I'm 70, active, and I developed a pain in my outer hip, like the hip point. And it radiates down the side of my leg, especially when running or hiking uphill. And I went to see an orthopedic surgeon, and they said, even though the pain was in my hip, it was actually caused by the stenosis I have in my spine.
Hmm.
And that's what I was dealing with for a couple of years, and it kind of went away. And then in the last several months, it came back. So I went back, and I took another x-ray, and they said, yeah, it's the same thing. It's, even though it's the pains in your hip, it's caused by your spine. But it seemed to get worse, and they finally referred me, that gave me another MRI, and they said, no, it's the spine. They sent me to see the spine specialist, and he concurred. And then this past winter, after skiing for about a week, it got worse, so I said, can I see the hip guy again? And he finally, for the first time, gave me a hip MRI, and they found a labrum tear.
Yeah, labrum tear.
Labrum tear. And they said, actually, now your problem is the hip. So I've gotten two cortisone shots, which really haven't worked. So I'm kind of debating, who should I go back to this time? Should I ask to see the back guy again or the hip guy again? They seem, even saying it could be an ITB problem.
Well, this is a very common dilemma. Both the back and the hip can cause pain in similar parts of the body. And sometimes it's hard to tell what the source of the pain is. And sometimes people have both a hip problem and a spine problem. I mean, it turns out that if you do have hip arthritis, you're more likely to have spine arthritis and vice versa. So just relying on imaging tests, I don't think is terribly helpful, because a lot of times you can have abnormalities on an MRI scan or an X-ray that don't necessarily correlate with the amount of pain that you're having. First of all, when the doctor examines you, if he takes your leg and moves your hip joint around, if that recreates the pain, that strongly suggests that that it's a hip problem.
Yeah, the only pain really is, like, especially walking upstairs or hiking, especially when I was hiking uphill up Hadley Mountain like 2 weeks ago.
Well,
walking on the level didn't bother me.
Yeah. Well, that sounds a little suspicious for a hip problem. The other way to tell the difference is with these injections. If you get injection in the hip and you feel better, then that injection has been diagnostic as well as therapeutic and tells you that the problem is in the hip. Same thing with the back. If you get a cortisone shot in the back and you feel better, once again, it would be diagnostic as well as therapeutic.
Okay. Right. It felt better for like 1 day, and then it eased off after 1 day, and then it was back to the same discomfort.
But I think the doctor's insight into the fact that just because, you know, you're going back and forth, is it the back or is it the hip, could be both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Reminds me of when the guy calls the car guys and said, what's the chances that both of my headlights would go out at the same time? And they laughed and they said, you know, wait a second now. You know, you've been riding around with one bad headlight for a long, long time. Okay. We're going to Donna in Glenford. Donna, you're on. Oh, Dana. I'm so sorry. Dana.
Oh, that's okay. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Doctor, I am interested in hearing about elbow replacements. I was in a semi-serious accident in September and had to have an emergency elbow surgery. My arm, I was in physical therapy, I've had acupuncture, I've worked on it on my own. My arm does not straighten. My supination and my pronation are fair to poor, especially my supination. When I went back to my surgeon in California after 6 months, he had recommended I have an elbow replacement, which terrifies me. And from what I understand, they're really rare. And I just wondered what you could tell me about it and if there's some place in this area where there's someone with some expertise in this.
Do you do them, doctor?
Yes, I have done them. I don't do a great deal of them. As you said, they are extremely rare. And you're probably well-served to find somebody who does a fair number of them, somebody who specializes in upper extremity surgery. And there are a couple of people in the capital region who do that. They are very rarely done. As a rule, they tend not to hold up as well as other types of joint replacements. They have a significantly higher complication rate. They're generally used in people with very low demand, elderly people, people who are so crippled with rheumatoid arthritis that they don't stress the elbow replacement very much because, as I said, there's a high failure rate. They are being used more and more in people who've had traumatic events. But
what's a traumatic event? Like
a fracture. Fracture. So,
yes.
You know, but I would really hold that as an absolute last resort because you sound like you're a younger, very active type of a person. And I think that you would be at risk to have a failure of an elbow replacement. I will say parenthetically that there's another procedure which doesn't give fabulous results, but might be better for a younger active person, where you can resurface the cartilage in the elbow. What they do is they take a piece of ligament and stick it between your arm bone and your forearm bone. And then they put you in a hinged distractor that holds the two bones apart and allow you to move it. And as time passes, the ligament material sort of will gradually morph into something that resembles cartilage. And
but you're not a big fan.
And it doesn't give great results, but it might be better than somebody who has a really bad elbow. And in a younger person who's active, that might be preferable to an elbow replacement.
Okay. With that procedure, do you think I would be able to straighten my arm? Because at this point, it doesn't look like my arm will straighten. I was very active in yoga, swimming, Pilates. All those things are extremely limited now.
How close to straightening your arm do you come? Is it almost straight or, like, nowhere close to straight?
I would say it's about 155 degrees open, if 180 is fully straight.
Well, to be honest with you, from what little I know from listening to you talk, I think you're probably best waiting on getting an elbow replacement. It doesn't sound like you're not perfect, but there's an old saying in surgery that there's no condition that cannot be made worse by an operation.
I'm afraid of.
Yeah, you don't want to find out that the hard way.
Hey, Dana, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I wish we could give you better news. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Robin Saratoga. Robin Saratoga, you're on.
Hello.
Hey.
About 6 years ago, I fell in a construction accident, and I landed about 8 feet on my back, and I've been diagnosed with piriformis syndrome. I get cortisone shots every 8 months to a year, and they've been very, very effective. Is there any limitations to the amount of cortisone that you can get?
Well, if you get cortisone injections adjacent to a tendon or a ligament, the cortisone injections, after a while, can cause degeneration of the tendon and the ligament. And
I'm sorry, you said it could cause degeneration to the
tendon or ligament.
Tendon and ligament. Okay.
Yeah, but with injections into the joints, if the alternative for you is to undergo some big operation, you don't really have that much to lose. And although the cortisone is probably not good for the cartilage in your joints, there's not a tremendous amount of evidence linking it to cartilage damage. So it's very common for people to get cortisone injections periodically in different parts of their body for many, many years, some people the rest of their life, because the alternative might be some mutilating surgical procedure. But
yeah,
I'd say if the shots work for you and you get it two or three times a year, go ahead and go for it.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Okay. Now we'll go to Kelly in Albany. Kelly in Albany, you're on.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question for the doctor was this. About 8 months ago or so, maybe even longer, I started to experience tingling in my hands and my palms and noticed that my elbows also ached. I thought perhaps it was carpal tunnel, but now I was recently told that it seems more, after doing some Googling, that it was an ulnar nerve. And I didn't know if it was something I needed surgery for, because I did have surgery 6 months ago for, it wasn't carpal tunnel in my wrist, both of my wrists on the inside. I guess the joints were all knotted up. They had me extend my arm and squeeze my finger, like my thumb, and I couldn't do it. I can't remember the name of the syndrome, but I didn't know if it was related to prior surgery or if it's a joint thing that I could, you know, perhaps just do exercises with, or I even heard of acupuncture. And how do I distinguish whether it's the ulnar nerve or carpal tunnel?
Well, which fingers are going numb? Is it your little and ring finger?
It's if I press on the palms of my hands, they all go numb.
Okay.
And I've had a lot of joint issues. I was diagnosed with Crohn's about 10 years ago. And because of that, I've had a lot of joint pain. So I didn't know if this is something, even if I type all day, but even if I'm knitting or doing something active with my hands, they'll just start to go numb on me, and I can't even keep a full grip on anything.
Well, it sounds more like carpal tunnel, actually, because when you press in your palm there, you're really pressing on the carpal tunnel. And in the inside the carpal tunnel, which is a space in your hand, is a nerve called the median nerve, and that goes to your thumb, index, middle, and part of your ring finger. And if those are the fingers that are going numb, it sounds like carpal tunnel. And what you might try doing is wear a splint at nighttime. And the reason that tends to work is because at night, many people, when they fall asleep, their wrist bends, and that puts more pressure on the median nerve. And the splint holds your wrist out straight and takes pressure off the nerve. So if you do that and you feel better, that would be a test that would indicate that it probably is carpal tunnel. Now, if it's the little finger and the ring finger, that'd be something called cubital tunnel, which is same idea, just different nerve, different tunnel. And that's the tunnel at the elbow that some people call the funny bone. And what you
might... Yes, that's kind of what it feels like, the pain. If I twist my elbow a certain way, I can feel the pain.
Yeah, so if it sounds to you like you've got cubital tunnel, the little and ring finger going numb, and you get a tingling sensation when you tap over your on the inside part of your elbow, what you might try doing is taking something bulky like a towel and wrapping it around your elbow at night with a safety pin or a piece of tape. And the reason for that is because many people, when they fall asleep, they sleep with their elbow flexed. And in that position, the ulnar nerve in the cubital tunnel gets squeezed against that bony prominence on the inside of your elbow.
What does the word flexed mean in this case?
Bent.
Bent. Okay. Hey, Kelly, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very
much. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we are going to be right back.
Support comes from Premier Medical Group, gastroenterology, urology, internal medicine, endocrinology, geriatrics, nephrology, and pulmonology, with offices throughout the Hudson Valley. PremierMedicalHV.com. Adelphi University's Hudson Valley Center, Poughkeepsie, offering a graduate program in social work and graduate and undergraduate programs in nursing. Adelphi.edu. Ellis Medicine and Bellevue Women's Center, providing preventative heart disease screenings for women. EllisMedicine.org. And Paradise City Arts Festival, a three-day festival of art, craft, music, and food, Memorial Day weekend at the Three County Fairgrounds in Northampton, Massachusetts. ParadiseCityArts.com.
And we are back. We're delighted that you're all here with us with Dr. Russell Cecil. We're taking a lot of calls here. There is now one free phone. That's it. Let's go to Sally in Albany. Sally, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Approximately 4 months ago, three toes on my left foot started sporadically become numb. So I went to a GP, and she had me x-rayed. And I learned that, according to what she told me, I had a disintegrating disc in my back, and it was arthritic. Now, I've been very healthy all these years. I used to do 100 jumping jacks twice a day, morning and evening. And now I'm not taking any medication other than my vitamins and the aspirin, but when I go to bed, if I'm active all day, which I am, I'm fine. No numbness in the toes, no pain. But when I go to bed at night, if I sleep flat on my back and I wake up in the morning, I'm great. But if I happen to go into the fetal position, I can hardly get out of bed. And my left arm is just excruciating in pain. Now, what can I do?
Well, it sounds almost like you figured out what to do yourself, and the things to do would be to stay active and exercise a lot and sleep on your back. It doesn't sound like a real bad problem. I would agree with your general practitioner that it probably is a pinched nerve in the back.
Well, she wanted me to go to an osteo whatever, and I said no. This is the first doctor I've gone to in 50 years. For the record, I'm 85 years old. I mow my lawn and I shovel my snow. And I feel as long as I'm active, I'm okay. So, doctor, I'm sorry to waste your time.
Well, I don't think you're wasting anybody's time. He gave you a great answer. Sally, thank you for calling. Appreciate it a lot. Let's go to let's go to Nancy in Toland. Okay. Nancy, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, Nancy. You're on.
Yeah, I have a question about shoulder arthritis. and that is Celebrex. Is that a good way to help relieve the pain, or do you have any comment on that?
And let me add to that. Wasn't there quite a bit of to-do, Doctor, about the use of Celebrex not that long ago?
Yes. You're talking about with heart problems? Is that what you...
Yeah, well, I think that there was a cautionary question about using this stuff. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'm not sure. There are so many cautionary questions about all these medications. I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Celebrex is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug like ibuprofen or Motrin, Aleve, Advil. Celebrex has some qualities to it that make it a little less likely to bother your stomach. But it's quite a bit more expensive than Aleve or Advil. And if you can take those drugs, they probably work just as well as the Celebrex does as a painkiller and can save you some money.
Okay, and then sort of a follow-up question to the gentleman who called about stem cells and growing cartilage. There's also something out there on the Internet, platelet replacement, and I do know there's a couple of places in Connecticut that are offering it. I wondered if you had any comment on that.
Yes.
Basically, okay.
Platelets are little cells in your blood that help your blood clot, and it turns out that the platelets have substances in them that can cause your body to heal more quickly. And so a lot of people were very excited about this and figured out, well, if we can take somebody's blood, remove some of their platelets, give them their blood back, but keep the platelets, and then inject the platelets in a concentrated form into a spot which is sore or degenerated, maybe we can promote healing. And it's an interesting idea. There's some laboratory experiments that show that it could be helpful. Right now, it is not what I would call clinically proven. It's an area of clinical controversy as to whether or not it's actually effective. It hasn't been standardized at all. And I think that it's right now a work in progress. I think it's very promising. But if I had tendonitis, I would probably wait a little bit until we get the platelet enriched plasma sorted out better.
Well, as I understand it, the physician's intention is to inject it into my arthritic shoulder, into the joint in the shoulder.
Yeah, well, you can inject it just about anywhere. Whether or not it actually is beneficial, I would say at this point, remains to be seen.
Yeah, he's saying about 60 yes and 40 no. Okay, well,
thank you, Nancy.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Jill in Waterman. Okay, Jill.
Hi, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
I have had tendonitis in my left elbow for the past 2 or 3 months, and it's initially, whether it's at rest or active, it was a shooting pain down into my fingers. The doctor called it epicondylitis, and I've been having physical therapy. I'm on my sixth and last week of physical therapy, and the relief is minimal at best. It's still very, very painful to straighten my arm straight out, and it's very, very painful to flex my arm, like touch my shoulder with my hand, that kind of flex. And having cortisone, the idea of sticking a needle into that joint with the nerve pain the way it is scares me to death. Is there anything? Oh, and I am on Motrin, but I do not like taking ibuprofen if I can get away with it. Is there anything else that I might be able to do? I'm extremely active, and a lot of my activities, even if they're leg activities, seem to irritate it.
Okay, so let's get an answer. Doctor.
Is the pain on the outside of your elbow or the inside of your elbow?
It's on mostly on the outside.
Okay. Well, you have the most.
And it goes up into my bicep, lower part of my bicep.
Right. Well, you have the most common type of elbow tendonitis, what's commonly known as tennis elbow. It doesn't usually have anything to do with tennis, but that's what it's called.
And no, because I got it from skiing.
Yeah. So I went to a very interesting seminar at the latest American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons meeting in New Orleans on tennis elbow, and I think the feeling of the people there would be that you should congratulate yourself on having disease, which is guaranteed to go away by itself, even if you never went to a doctor. And there are a lot of treatments out there that can do more harm than good. The physical therapy is probably not going to do any harm. On the other hand, it's probably not going to do a whole lot of good, as you have found out.
Well, the muscle pain is nowhere near what it was, but I still have this nerve pain that shoots into my hand, like I said, when I try to straighten my arm straight out or hyperflex it.
Well, if you don't have a pinched nerve and you just have the tennis elbow, it will get better by time. The thing I would avoid would be a cortisone shot, which has been a tried and true treatment for many, many years. The reason for that is because there's evidence now that after a cortisone shot, you might develop much less pain, but eventually the pain will come back, usually in 8 or 10 weeks, and oftentimes comes back worse than ever. So I would avoid a cortisone shot.
Yeah, I have it in my shoulders, and that's why I don't want to have it in my elbow.
Another thing which might help you is something called a tennis elbow strap, which is usually a Velcro strap that you put around your forearm. And that's not going to do
it. I tried that. It made it hurt worse.
Okay. There's a surgical procedure that can be done for this, but I would say that that is an absolute last resort.
What about acupuncture?
Well, you can try it. I don't know of any good evidence that that's an effective treatment, but I don't know any evidence that it's not either. And you said you didn't want to take Motrin. Well, the Motrin is just a painkiller. It has no therapeutic effect on the basic process.
Right, but it does a number on your kidneys, and I try to steer away from it if I can.
I think that's a good choice. Like most people, I've had tennis elbow several times in my life, and I can just tell you, eventually you just ignore it, it'll go away.
Jill, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Judy in Kingston. One free phone. Judy, 1-800-348-2551. Judy in Kingston, go.
Hi, I have another tendonitis question. I was diagnosed with tendonitis in the biceps tendon. I'm a professional artist, and I have a lot of, I guess, repetitive stress work where I'm kind of moving the arm back and forth painting. And it's also affected by using my phone and cutting vegetables and things like that. I've had a few injections that didn't seem to help for very long. And I know that there is a surgery for reattaching the bicep so that it doesn't go through the groove where it gets irritated. And I'm wondering what your experience of success with that has been.
That's not an operation that I do very much of. My partner, who's a sports medicine doctor, does quite a bit of that. And that can be helpful if you've tried everything and the biceps pain is just intolerable. You might consider going to see a sports medicine specialist and talking to him about that. But my understanding is that it is a reasonably successful procedure. It's not a big operation.
Okay.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Right. Let's go to Leslie in Glen Falls, or Glens Falls, as we say. Go ahead.
Hi, I just have a question. I don't have any physical ailments.
Hey, Leslie, are you talking into the phone or around it?
No, I'm talking into it.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Better.
I don't have any physical problems, but I'm just curious, when I'm walking upstairs, what is the sound that my knees make that sound like everything's crunching, but there's no pain or anything like that with it? It's just air, or what causes the sound? Is it something that's going to become an issue?
Well, it sounds like you've got some arthritis in your knees. Now, in all of your joints, including your knees, you have cartilage, and cartilage is normally very smooth, white, shiny tissue with a very low friction when it rubs against other pieces of cartilage. Now, when a person gets arthritis, what actually happens is that the cartilage flakes off the end of the bone, and instead of being smooth, it's rough. And it's the rough cartilage, which is rubbing against another piece of rough cartilage on the other bone, that causes that grinding or crunching sound. We actually have a word for that. It's called crepitation. And as long as it's not painful, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
You know, on the bird show, they'd make you imitate the bird. Can you make the sound? No. Okay. Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Toby and Lee. Toby and Lee, you're on.
Hi, how are you? I have a question about a possible knee surgery. About 12 years ago, I hurt my knee snowboarding, my right knee. Long story short, when I went to the hospital, they didn't do anything. They suggested physical therapy, and that was it. Now I have a young son, and it's starting to bother me more, like chasing him around and stuff. So I went to a doctor again. He did an x-ray, didn't see anything, so I'm having an MRI done, and he suggested that it's probably, if it is muscular, it's my ACL or my meniscus. But the question I had is, after if this happened 12 years ago, wouldn't it have healed at some point?
Not necessarily. Those are two structures which, generally speaking, don't heal by themselves after they're injured. The anterior cruciate ligament, also known as the ACL, is the main ligament that connects your thigh bone to your shin bone. And once it's torn, it will never heal. And the reason for that is because it passes through the center of the joint and tends not to have a lot of blood vessels around it. So even though you tore it 12 years ago, possibly, it doubtless, if you did tear it then, is not healed. And if you're having symptoms that are consistent with an ACL tear, surgery to fix it is very successful these days.
Toby, okay. We're going to let you go because we're trying to get this thing done. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Right, David in Pittsfield. David, keep it short. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question for the doctor on a comment he came up with earlier regarding injections to knees. I've had arthritic knees, which I've had arthroscopic surgery on both, and I've had success with Synvisc. And I'm wondering, is that's not the motor oil reference you made that they're not going to use anymore, is it?
Yes, that's hyaluronic acid. That's just one manufacturer's name for it. This stuff is still available, but I just gave a patient a couple of injections of hyaluronic acid about an hour and a half before I got on the show. So we still use it. Some people are very happy with it, but there is mounting evidence that it's not that effective. And because of that, as I said, lots of insurance companies will probably start to stop paying for it in the future.
That's what I thought you were referencing. Is there any alternative besides the Synvisc now or coming?
Well, there's nothing really on the market which is a good alternative other than cortisone shots. As far as in the future, we talked about the stem cells. I think that's going to be a good thing. And the platelet-enriched plasma, that might also be a good thing. They're both, at this point, work in progress.
Okay, David, thank you. All right, now let's go to Gail in Adams. Okay, Gail, you got to keep it real short. Go ahead.
Okay, real simple. I've had both my shoulders replaced. The right shoulder was a Delta procedure, and it's a reverse ball and socket. And when I sleep on my right side, my right hand goes numb. But if I sleep on my left side, my left hand does not go numb. So my question is it because of the shoulder replacement or is something else going on?
Well, which side should you sleep on? Go ahead.
Yeah.
If I sleep on my right side, my right hand goes numb.
But if you sleep on your left side, nothing happens, right?
If I sleep on my left side, nothing happens to my left hand.
So in an Abbott and Costello routine, somebody would say, do you sleep on the left side?
My question is there something else going on in the shoulder, or is it in my elbow?
I think the chances are that it's not related to your shoulder replacement, and you most likely have either carpal or cubital tunnel syndrome. That's a pinched nerve at the wrist of the elbow. And that's something that if you go to a doctor, they can figure that out and give you
a straight
answer.
So that would be in the wrist?
Wrist or elbow, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Let's go to Dana real fast. Dana, I'm trying to fit you in. Go ahead. Donna.
Donna?
Yeah, Donna.
Donna?
Your turn. Yeah, Donna. Like in the restaurant,
hi.
I'm going to call you and say, Donna.
Hi. I'm calling you about my both of my shoulders. First of all, I've cured all my joint pain with my gluten-free, grain-free diet and glucosamine and vitamin D, but I had a rotator cuff done about 7 years ago on my left arm, and he said that he just cleaned it up, and it didn't work. It hurts me.
Donna, I'm so sorry. We're going to run out of time here. You got to ask the question real fast, succinctly. What's
okay.
the question?
Why didn't my rotator cuff work? Because I have to have another one done, and I don't want it to be the same thing. Why didn't it work? He just cleaned it up.
I'm guessing that when he looked in your shoulder, the rotator cuff tendon was not actually completely torn. Maybe it was just a little bit torn. And it sounds like he did a debridement procedure, whereas you said he just cleaned it up and removed some bone spurs. And that, unfortunately, is a procedure with highly variable outcomes.
Donna, I'm so sorry. We are out of time. I appreciate your call very much. Okay. And to Mary of New Paltz and Dave in Del Mar, maybe next time, but not this time because we are out of time. And again, I apologize to those we left on the line. I also like to thank Dr. Russell Cecil for joining us today. Support for Medical Monday comes from Topperson, a topical treatment for pain associated with neuropathy and diabetes, supporting the American Diabetes Association 2014 Tour de Cure in Saratoga Springs. Team.topperson.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell and our producers, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Make sure you take WAMC with you. Download our new mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. Just go to iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. And need I tell you about the Lockbox? We have a $25,000 match from Mr. Big. First time it's ever happened. We don't want to lose it. We're getting close now, but I need your help. We all need your help. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.